We make no apology for the fact, and it is a fact, that the Bible and Scripture are completely true. So these aren't fairy stories. They are real. So Jesus went round and he did die on the cross and he did rise again. Fact. And Jesus does heal and change lives today. Fact. And I'm not apologising for that. And as a people, we do not apologise. Well, I hope you don't apologise for that. We do. We see miracles and signs and wonders. Not through our power, because we're a bunch of weird people, really, who live in our lives, but by the presence and the power of Jesus. Of Jesus. And Jesus does it today, and he will do it tomorrow, and he did it in the past, and he will do it again. And these are not fairy stories. This is true. Our God is real, and he is active, and he moves, and he heals, and he does miraculous things. And we just don't play token gestures to that. It is truth. So Shiji, I believe that God is going to completely heal you. Completely heal you. Yeah? Steph, you have been healed. God heals. God moves and heals, and it's not us. It is his presence. Yeah? We do. God's done what he always does. The Holy Spirit has done this, and he's preached me preach before I preach it. Very often through the worship and through the things that happened. God is good. God is good. We're looking at Genesis. Yeah, and we've gone right away from the beginning, we've done Noah, we've done all these different amazing characters, and we've spent recently looking at the life of Abraham. And you know what, I love the life of Abraham. I really enjoyed reading about Abraham because his life was a complete and utter mess. He was a mess in so many of the situations and so many of the things. He wasn't perfect. He was a mess. And there are ups and there are downs. And that would strike me as being real. This man lived his life. These are not fairy stories. They are real. And he was a great man of faith. He was a great man who trusted God. But he was a great man of great weakness as well. Great weakness. He was a real human being. He was a man that left his home in a sophisticated city of Ur of the Chaldees. He took his family and travels to a place God will tell him where he is. Where it is. That takes faith. It takes faith that God will show him. And then he gets there's a famine. The place where God takes him to Egypt. He couldn't trust God to do that. He trusted God for one thing, but not the other. A man who was brave enough to take 318 soldiers, and go to war in the Middle East against these five kings, however many kings. He was brave and trusted enough for that. But a man who was so scared that he lied about his wife and let her go off with other men. What a man of differences. A man who trusts God with wealth and doesn't let God not get glorified by giving back the wealth to the king of Sodom. So he's got that much trust and that much faith. But this man doesn't trust God's promises to multiply his descendants as many as the stars, and he changes and he kind of circumnavigates God's promise, and we end up having Hagar and the situation with Ishmael, and he ends up doing that. A man who is hospitable and intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. A man of faith, but a man that uses and abuses a servant girl for his own purposes. What a man. What ups and downs. That's Abraham. That is Abraham. You know what? If I was God, I would have blasted Abraham off the face of the earth many times. Like I probably would have blasted me off the face of the earth many times. And probably, in fairness, if you're looking hard, if you've lived a life a little bit like Abraham, ups and downs, and there's great faith and great, you know, backward steps, God would blast you, really. But you know, God is so gracious to this man. God is so gracious that he doesn't. And you know what? Through the trials and tribulations of Abraham, does God ever let Abraham down? There's not one single time where God forsakes his promise or lets Abraham down. Abraham cocks up all the time, but God never lets Abraham down. That's a God of grace and a God that you can trust in. That's amazing, isn't it? What a story. What a story. And Abraham's faith is a walk as well. He messes up, but he gets back up and he continues to walk with God, doesn't he? And it's the walk that's important. You're not going to mess up, but it's the walk that continues, and his faith. And you know what? I think faith is, I'm going to tell you a secret now. I went to the doctors because I've reached an age where I can't quite rejuvenate as quickly as I once could, and I got into trouble with the nurse, and she was very sad about my cholesterol, I think, and my general health, and so I've started jogging, and you know, the first time it was really hard, and then the second time it was still pretty hard, but it was easier. And the third time, it was easier. And the fourth time, I'm starting to actually enjoy it. It's quite good. And the next time, and you know, because my muscles are building and my body is getting used to running, and I'm building up. And I think that's how faith works. God doesn't require you to jump and do all sorts. Your faith builds. You do something, God honours it, and it builds like a muscle. How's your muscle of faith? How much do you trust God? And then you see what he does, and then you trust him some more. And you see what he does, and then trust him some more. That's what Abraham did. It's a journey. It's a building up your muscles of faith. So we reach, this is Abraham, and we reach the high point. I've actually gone back from where Silvanus is, because I wanted to get this story. And it's shocking. It's a shocking story. Chapter 22, but it's the high point of this man who copped up, this man of faith, this man of faith. So it starts, and I'm reading from the ESV version today, chapter 22, the sacrifice of Isaac. It says, after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. God tested Abraham. Why did God test Abraham? What a weird thing. What a bit of a mean God, really, isn't it? Did he test him? Have you ever been tested by God? Why did God test Abraham? Well, he does. God does test you. He does. You do go through trials. Yeah, so the Bible, James chapter 1 says, this is what it says about testing. It says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you to face trials of many kinds, because knowing that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may mature and complete, not lacking anything. God tests your faith. Why does he do it? So that your faith builds and your perseverance builds. Why does Satan test you? To lead you into sin. God tests you through trials to build your faith and your perseverance. And that's what God was doing here to Abraham. God was testing Abraham, not to lead him into a bad place, but to lead him into faith and into perseverance. Big difference. Is God testing your faith for perseverance? Andy. Yeah, there's people around here. God is testing your trust in him. Trust him. It'll do you good. Consider it a pure joy, it says. Great. What did Abraham do? And God said to Abraham, and he said, "Here I am." Abraham was listening for God's voice. And he doesn't say whether he said it in an audible voice or whether he got an impression or what, but Abraham was clearly listening for God's voice. Are you listening for God's voice in things? Are you in a place where you are listening? If God said something to you, would you hear it? I know I get really busy and I do, you run around and we have busy lives. But in that, if God has something to say to you, can you hear it? How are you going to hear it? If you read something in Scripture, do you hear it? Do you hear what it's saying? Or do you just move on to the next bit? Or life is busy, you go and make your breakfast, or you stick on Radio 1, or whatever you do. Or you drive to work. Are you listening for God's voice? And then Abraham did something else. He said, "Here I am." He was available for God. So if God has something to say to you, are you available to do what he asks you to do? Very simple things. But Abraham was listening and he was available. He said, "Here I am." Are you? Is God saying something to you? Are you listening? Are you available? And this is what God had to say to Abraham. He said, "Take your son, your only beloved son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I tell you." So Abraham is listening. He is available. How would you feel if God says something like that to you? Do you know what? I would feel physically sick. I suspect Abraham felt physically sick on what God had to say. Take your son, your only son. If you've been through this for all the sermons, you know the outcome. You're like, as it was born, it's the whole point of the story. And then God is saying, take this son who you've been waiting for all these years and go sacrifice. Can I'll try and put parity to it. Imagine Reuben. God said to me, to Reuben, go take Reuben and go burn him. I hope you feel very ill and uncomfortable. But that's what God had to say to him. It's pretty horrific, really, isn't it? What would you do? I'm pretty certain I wouldn't do that. Yeah. And actually, as well, it says, take your son, your only son. The Greek says, take your beloved son. He was a beloved son. Who does that remind you of? A beloved son. So go burn Isaac. So what did Abraham do? And this is why he's a man of faith. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He saddled his donkey and he took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and he rose and he went to the place which God had told him. Abraham didn't argue. In fact, he got up in the morning. He said he got up early in the morning. If it were me, I wouldn't have slept. So that's probably why he got up early in the morning. And he did it. Can you imagine the excuses that would have been going through Abraham's mind? Now that is fair. That's why Abraham is special. Yeah? It's horrific, isn't it? The Bible is horrific. It's, I can't think of anything worse. But Abraham was listening to God. He was available to God. God told him to do something. And he did it pretty much straight away. Now that is faith. That is faith, isn't it? Yeah? I've read a fascinating book. Lisa gave it to me. It's fantastic. It's called The 10-Second Rule. Really, in fact, I'll get some copies for you. But it was Abraham must have had lots of other voices saying to him, "No, God would never ask you to do that. That's a terrible idea. Why would God do that?" And you know, actually, very often when God speaks to us, God often is the first voice, and then all the excuses why we can't do that for the glory of God coming. Yeah? Now, Abraham must have had that, but he listened to the first voice of God. God told him to do something. In your life, when God tells you to do something, you might think, "Yeah, I'm going to do that." And then you go, "Oh, but actually, oh, it might go wrong, or this might be bad, this might..." Have you ever had that? Very often, I think God is the first voice. And the flesh very often is like, "Oh, that's a terrible idea, da-da-da." Not always, but sometimes. But Abraham listened to the first voice. He had faith for God's voice. Shocking. Isn't it shocking? When you get a nudge from God, do it and see what happens. So he cut the wood. This old man probably could have got somebody else to cut the wood, but I suspect he cut the wood to try and focus his mind on what he was going to have to do and stop him from thinking about it. Yeah? And then Abraham goes where God has told him to go. Challenging it. Verses 4 and 5. And on the third day it says, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, "Stay here with the donkey and the boy. We'll go over there and worship and come again to you." So he leaves the servants and he goes and worships. Now the question is, why did Abraham do what God told him to do? Why would you do that? Do you know what? Because Abraham implicitly understood the goodness of God. He knew that his God was good, and his God was faithful, and his God would not let him down, whatever he asked him to do. Do you believe that your God is faithful and good? Have you grasped the goodness of God? If God asks you to do something, however difficult it is, do you trust him because he is good? Have you grasped the grace and the goodness of God? Do you know what I think? Abraham trusted God. He expected Isaac to be raised from the dead. So he expected him to be cut down, killed, and he expected that Isaac was going to come back with him. And even in some of the versions, it says, "We will come back to you and meet you again," to his servants. He expected both of them to come back. He didn't know how God was going to do it, but he trusted God implicitly that God would make it good. Do you have that grasp on the grace and the goodness of God to trust him that much like Abraham. And that's why Abraham did it, because he trusted God and God knew that God was good. He had complete confidence in God for a good outcome. And then he says, verse 6, and Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and so they went both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. Isaac at this point asks him, Dad, what's going on? Effectively he said, what's going on? He must have thought, Where's the thing you're gonna burn? Yeah, and what a horrific conversation for Abraham to have with his son, because he knows full well what God's told him to do. That must have been excruciating, mustn't it? And God's answer is, God will provide. His answer to his son was, God will provide. His faith was being demonstrated to his child. How does our faith? Do we demonstrate our faith to our children? Do you know, we can often live a sinless life and we need to be holy and we need to be sinless. But actually, our children watch our faith and how much we trust in God. Yeah? If I don't trust in God, why should I expect Abigail to trust in God? If I don't trust in God, why should I expect Reuben to trust in God? Abraham trusted in God and demonstrated that faith to his child. And again, another amazing detail in the Bible is that Isaac put the wood on his back and he walked up to the place of sacrifice. Does that remind you of somebody? Where's your genie? All these pictures are in the Bible. Lifted on his back. And Isaac must have had an inkling of what was going to happen as well. And he's accepting of it. Does that remind you of somebody? Another beloved son had the means of his execution put on his back. Shadows. In the first book of the Bible, the coming Messiah. When they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Isaac's bound, so he's compliant in this. At that point, if he wanted to, he's probably a teenager or a younger adult, he could have beat Abraham, who was 100 years old. So in this, the faith of Isaac as well, is compliant in it. Does that remind you of anybody? But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham had taken his dearest thing, and he placed it on the altar of God, and he trusted God with it. His dearest thing. I remember, in fact, Pete might remember this as well. There was a wonderful guy called Andy McCulloch who went and planted a church in Turkey, and he's part of the movement of New Frontiers, and he moved over to Turkey, and one of his children was severely autistic. And the way that they deal with autistic children in this country is very different and the facilities are very different in Turkey. But he's been there, he's still in Turkey, he's planting, the church is growing, the gospel proceeds throughout the world. But Andy McCulloch's child, he's moved it over and put his trust in God for the facilities. And you know, it's worked out. It's been very tough. I know it's been very tough for them. But your children, do you trust your children with God to follow what God wants to do? Do you trust God with your children, those of us who have children? What do you trust? What is your greatest treasure? What about your family? If God tells you to do something, it might jeopardize your family. Do you trust God with your family? Your house? Oh, I've built up this wonderful mortgage and for retirement. Do you trust God with it, if God asks for it? Your job? Your career? Your money? Your security? Even a lifestyle that you treasure. Do you trust God with it? Your friends? Your reputation with your work colleagues. You know, it's easy to say this. Yesterday I was out healing on the streets and out of the corner of my eye I saw somebody who I used to work with who, when I was a serious individual, you know, and didn't do crazy things like praying for people's healing on the streets, you know, she would have known me. And you know what? There was something inside me that wanted to protect my reputation with her. There was. Fortunately, she went the other way. It was there, isn't it? You know what I mean? Protect your reputation. If God calls on your reputation for his glory, do you trust God with it? Do you trust God with it? Do you know he might call on it? What do you trust God with? Abraham trusted him with his treasured possession. Big faith. Do you understand this faith? It develops over time, but how much do you trust God with your treasured possessions? And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God provides. Do you trust God to provide? With your things that are dearest to you, your treasured possession like Isaac, your children, your family, whatever, if you lift them up to God, do you trust God with them? Do you understand his goodness? It's Friday, isn't it? Yeah, but do it. Honestly, and God will honour it. God is the provider. He is the provider. Everything you have, God has provided for anyway. If you've got a nice house, God gave you that. He's allowed you to have it by his grace. You don't deserve it. You wear whatever car you drive. God is giving you that by his grace. You don't deserve nothing at all. But he provides. You have nothing to boast about at all. But God gives you stuff. He is the provider. And it ends, and the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven. So he's talking to him again and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sands that is on the seashore, and your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." God took an oath on himself. It's all about God's glory, not ours. God cherishes his glory, and God takes a sacred oath on himself. There's nothing higher to take an oath on. Because of Abraham's faith and trust, he will bless Abraham. And his offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because Abraham obeyed God's voice. Incredible, isn't it? There's a promise of the coming Messiah throughout Genesis, throughout Scripture. And there's another situation where God or someone gives his son, where God provides. So God provided the ram, later God will provide a lamb, the Lamb of God who takes sins from the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. I believe that is absolutely true. God provided a sacrifice instead of Isaac. God did not withhold his beloved son, Jesus. He allowed Abraham to do that, but he didn't withhold it. That's God's grace. God's grace. Jesus died on a cross. God's beloved son. For your sins. You're not deserving of it. You know this, a lot of you. Yeah, God. Jesus died because God loved you. And that's a this story is the shadow of the cross, isn't it? It's the cross. It just points to the cross. There's two sides of two things. Love. God is all about love. And the two sides of love are grace and mercy. And that's why you'll hear me talk about grace and mercy. God's love to you, he gives you things that you don't deserve, and he withholds judgments that you do deserve. That's grace and mercy. But the other side, God blesses, and God's love language is faith and obedience. The other side of the coin, faith. God wants you to trust him implicitly because he's good. He wants you to trust him. If he talks to you, if he has something to say to him, do it. Do it quick. Don't let the other voices come in. Do it. Because he is good. God will work out the detail. He is good. Often, faith will always result in obedience. That's the two sides. God loves faith and obedience. He loves this faith of Abraham. Do you trust God? That's it. Do you trust God? Do you trust him? Do you trust him? What areas of your life have you let his trust in? Because he's good. He's good. Do you trust him? And when you do trust him, and when you obey him, he loves it. He absolutely loves it. Do you like Abraham? I'm so glad he's such a mess. But I'm so challenged by his faith in this goodness of God. And I'm so glad that we have a God who gives and who died and who rose again, yeah, for your sins, and gives us things we don't deserve and withholds the judgment that we do deserve. Yeah? If there's anything in your life that you're struggling to trust God with, want to pray for you. Yeah, it might be for a job, it might be for a situation, it might be for a ministry, it might be that, do you trust God to heal you? Do you trust God enough to change the way that you live your life and go his way? Do you trust God to repent? I want to pray for you. Because God so loved the world, that's you, that he gave. He didn't withhold his only son. We're going to worship. I will be sat down here. But if you want prayer for anything, trust God. He is good. He is good. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for Abraham. We just thank you for his demonstration of real faith, Lord Jesus, and an understanding and trust in your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are a God. However unfaithful we are, you are faithful to trust implicitly. Lord Jesus, we just thank you that you were obedient and you went to the cross and God was faithful and you rose from the dead. And now we get your righteousness. Lord, fill us more with your Holy Spirit that we trust you implicitly, even with our most treasured possessions. We ask it all for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. Thank you.